Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. A new CBS News poll is out, and it shows President Biden's got a 61 to 38% edge now over Donald Trump among young voters.
Support for Joe Biden was just one of the findings. CBS News manager of surveys, Fred Backus, with what else the poll found about younger voters.
Despite the hardships that voters under 30 feel they're facing, they do tend to be more optimistic than older voters about the way things are going in the U.S. and about the country's future.
The poll also found just 59% of younger voters say they plan to vote in November. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
The two set to debate this Thursday on CNN, and Trump's already mocking the event, its rules, and moderators.
Think of this, but no audience. It's like death. There's two us and two of them. It's like death. This could be the most boring, or it could be quite exciting. Who knows?
That rally in Philly yesterday, and it may be a rematch, but it won't be a rerun since mics will be turned off while the other is speaking. The brutal heat's not letting up today. Here's CBS's Mark Strassman.
Best thing I can tell you, don't come outside.
Potentially record-setting temperatures, definitely dangerous.
It's too hot today. Too hot. Definitely. It's difficult to walk around.
More than 100 million Americans are under heat warnings and advisories. Argyle, Wisconsin's a mess this morning after getting hit last night by a possible tornado. WISC-TV reporter Andrew Banstra's outside what used to be a church.
I just saw a pew in front of me. There was a Bible just sitting on the ground. When you go back behind the church, there's a cemetery of which the gravestones were leveled all over the place. Some of them still intact.
Governors in Iowa and South Dakota also issued emergency declarations this weekend over strong storms. Israel's defense minister is headed to Washington now as tensions escalate along its northern border. Our Linda Gradstein has more from Jerusalem.
In a statement before leaving, Gallant said that Israel is prepared for any action that may be required in Gaza, Lebanon, and other areas. The trip comes as tensions between Israel and Hezbollah have increased, and there are fears it could lead to an all-out war. Gallant said Israel is transitioning to what he called Phase C in its war against Hamas in Gaza.
Airstrikes killed dozens in Gaza yesterday. Israel claims it had targeted Hamas infrastructure. Jerry Seinfeld got heckled last night by anti-Israeli protesters in Melbourne, Australia.
Oh, you're back! They're back! The protesters are back!
The comedian immediately mocking the group for having paid for his show and said their organization needs a better plan. He was heckled last week in Sydney, too. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Devices called anaerobic digesters convert waste from large factory farms, known as CAFOs, into fuel. But some experts say it's not the boon to the environment that others say it is. Here's Mike Mohn.
Anaerobic digesters create a mixture of gases to be used for electricity or processed into transportation fuel. In a report his group recently issued, Chris Hunt of the Socially Responsible Agriculture Project says federal incentives spurring these projects allow the presence of industrial lag to overshadow renewable energy benefits.
If we put money toward biogas, we're essentially helping to subsidize and further entrench industrial livestock production.
Hunt says that opens the door to other pollution risks linked with higher levels of animal waste. His organization found that the herd size on factory farms with digesters grew by nearly 4% year over year, 24 times the growth rate of typical dairies. Supporters of this technology argue common sense regulations could balance accountability and opportunities for the movement to thrive. Even if biogas production wiped out methane emissions completely, Hunt contends it's still a narrow view of the factory farm problem.
Biogas doesn't solve the factory farm issue. Greenhouse gas emissions aren't the only problems with factory farms. As someone who's been working on this issue for 20 years, it's actually one of the problems with factory farms that concerns me the least.
Report authors say water pollution from factory farms will still exist. They add these digesters don't address worker or animal rights abuses uncovered at concentrated animal feeding operations. Those calling attention to the issue stress they're not against dairy farms. They just want the public to embrace sustainable solutions. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. This story was produced with original reporting from Lena Beck for Modern Farmer.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price for your Sunday. A mix of clouds and sunshine, although there should be a bit more sunshine in the second half of the day. Highs in the upper 70s, light northwest winds. Overnight, lower 60s and mostly clear skies. Sunshine for Monday, highs in the upper 70s. It's 66 at our studios.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in for the next Devil's Advocates radio show. We're fresh off our Cedarburg Strawberry Fest hangovers. You'll want to tune in Monday, Big Monday.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, folks, welcome to the Cripes Cast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens, and this is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. We are sponsored and powered by Everlight Solar. Here is today's episode. Hey, folks, welcome back to another episode of the Cripes Cast. Today, my guest is Wisconsin artist and muralist Zane Statz. Some of you know Zane because he paints a lot of the Packers shoes. You've seen cleats that he's painted on the NFL. He's made it to that level just by doing what he loves, following his passion and sort of finding a way for business to merge with his art. And he's done an incredible job. It was a lot of fun talking with him. All right, folks. And with that, here is my interview with artist and muralist Zane Statz.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for coming all the way down here.
Thanks for having me, Charlie.
Do you want an old fashioned?
I'm good. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's totally fine.
Thank you.
Because it is 11 a.m.
It is 11 a.m. Yes.
Are you a drinker?
I'm not a drinker.
That's
either.
It. So
that's the hitting right there.
Yeah. How long have you been not a drinker?
Just over a year now.
Congratulations,
just
man.
Just kind of make a little life choice change. And
You know that's a tough thing to do. And by the way, if you don't want to talk about this on the
thing, oh, we're fine. No.
Okay. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Just over a year.
Just over a year. So about 14 months. Yeah.
It's not an easy thing to do in this
not
state.
Not in Wisconsin. No, this is a little bit of a drinking state. But
yeah.
I'm fine being different. And yeah, I just kind of learned that I didn't have the right attitude to take alcohol in the right way. And I drank a little too much and needed to make that life change. And it seemed like the right time to do it. And
yeah.
I feel so much better.
Good for you, man.
Yeah. No more waking up groggy, you know?
Yeah.
Waking up ready to go.
Yeah. Good for you. Well, very, very, very proud of you. And that's not an easy thing to do, but I'm glad that every single day, you know, you're doing that. I got a bunch of, but a lot of sober comedians.
Sure. Are there really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, yeah. It doesn't shock me. Okay.
Yeah. So anyways, I get the whole deal. But anyway, thanks for coming down.
Of course.
Huge fan of your work.
Thank you. As am I of yours.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for coming. Green Bay show. You show up afterwards with a pair of the coolest sneakers I've ever received in my life. I've ever seen in my life outside of the other sneakers you've done. But you got some Nikes, some incredible design on these suckers. It's just first of all, where I like to start is the Barron's Old Fashioned Brandy and the Go Packers and F the Bears. Okay, but just the custom paint job and everything. I mean, some Air Force Ones that you just completely reimagine and customize.
Yeah.
And you customized them to me, so I was like, "Oh, that's cool." But I mean, seriously, you're doing this for professional athletes. You're doing it for me. You're not just doing this; you're doing murals.
Yes.
You're turning old footballs into shoes. You're reimagining those little Tikes cars.
Yes,
you're doing so much stuff, and I guess what I'm fascinated by is how you can make it as an artist in these unconventional ways. And really, I think any way you make it as an artist,
yeah,
is going to be unconventional.
It is. I mean, yeah, art isn't just black and white anymore. There's so many different facets to it. But yeah, I just like to have fun with what I'm doing and try new things. So like that little Tykes car I did recently. That was just, it was a friend's car that wanted it for their first year old's birthday. And I just went all out and G'd it up and had a lot of fun with it. But I mean, yeah, shoes are a blast. You just have that blank canvas to work with. I love working with like Nikes, the leather ones, like the ones that you had. And then, yeah, making it personal to the person that's going to receive it too. So it's not just a standard pair you see on the shelves of the store, that it's personal to the person that gets it and really gets to rock it on the street and kind of show it off.
Well, and your shoes have made it to the biggest stage out there, the NFL, you know?
Yes, they have now.
Which is so cool to see people wearing your shoes on the field. But before we get to that,
sure,
I want to start off with like your story. Where are you from and how did you get into art to begin with?
Yeah, so I'm born and raised in Door County up in Sturgeon Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Both my parents are small business owners. So they've kind of been grinding it from the get-go, bed and breakfast in a toy store.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, growing up with a parent with a toy store is a perk.
I was going to ask which one did you like being in more, but I
had yeah, the toy store for sure. I get to try out all the new things.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
See if they work.
Cool. Shout out to toy stores. It's still around.
It is. Dancing Bear up in Sturgeon Bay.
Nice. Yeah. Dancing Bear in Sturgeon Bay. Yeah. Best toys in Sturgeon
Bay.
Best
toys in Door County.
Best toys.
Yes.
I knew it was best toys in Sturgeon Bay.
But yeah, but now it's Door County. Yeah, it's making it.
For those of you that don't know where Door County is, I feel like we're compelled to do a... I got it the wrong way. Right on the thumb. Okay, right on the thumb.
Yeah, right in the thumb. Yeah, it's always the entire good Wisconsin thumb. Hand.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So you grew up there.
Grew up there. My mom was an artist, so she was making jewelry.
Wait, let me guess.
Yes.
You said one of them ran the bed and breakfast, the other ran the toy store.
Yeah, which one do you think was the artist?
I think your mom ran the bed and breakfast.
You had it wrong.
Dang it.
I know. You had a 50-50, though.
What I wanted to do is go for the not... the like, my first thought would be your mom ran the toy store. But I
know.
I just thought it would be more interesting if, like... actually, you're wrong. I think it's more likely she ran the toy store.
Yes.
This is my way backtracking when I get the wrong answer.
Yes, saying I know you have a way of doing it. That's good.
I was too smart to get the answer right.
Of course you were. Of course you were. No, yeah, she ran the toy store. She was an artist. She did tapestry. She did jewelry. So she kind of always had that art side to her. My dad was an engineer, so he was the more analytical side. He's the one that had the bed and breakfast, White Lace Inn up in Sturgeon Bay. But yeah, so I always kind of liked doing art from the beginning. In high school, my dad gave me the permission that I could start spray painting a garage when my mom was out of town for a week, which she absolutely loved.
That's cool.
So I went to town on it, just to spray paint, just different kind of characters.
Wait, did she actually love it?
No, she hated it.
Oh, I would think because she was the artist that she would think, oh, this is, I see what you did here.
No, so the reason that she hated it is that our house was in the backyard of the bed and breakfast. So it was transforming the bed and breakfast too, which she had a big stake into the bed and breakfast too, even though she had the toy store.
Yeah.
But I mean, she didn't really see it as an attractive element to the Victorian style of the bed and breakfast with this urban graffiti.
I see.
I mean, kind of a night and day turn right there. But
and why was your dad for it?
I just think he wanted to encourage me to just try something new. And I don't think he knew what I would do.
Yeah.
So when I was given the permission to do one thing, of course, I took it to level 10 and just went not just from the first 5 feet, but got ladders and got to the very top of it and filled the whole thing up. But yeah, so it really started there. I mean, that was, I guess, my first kind of mural, high school, went to college at St. Norbert College in De Pere.
Yeah.
Was kind of trying to find my footing of what I wanted to pursue as a career, played around with a few different things, exploring maybe biology, not into medical stuff. No, thank you. Political science, another thing, just kind of boring for me, but finally found my footing on a mixture of business and art. So I ended up graduating with graphic design and business from the school. And the professors, especially in the art department, really encouraged me to explore different mediums of my art. So not just your traditional painting, not just traditional digital stuff, but like exploring it into different canvases, larger wood sculptures, wood canvases, using kind of books as different mediums, as props that you could use to paint. So it just kind of opened my eyes, which then I took that that education into a graphic design job early on at an agency in Green Bay.
Got it. So it is almost step one in your sort of artistic journey is like get a job somewhat in art.
Yes.
Because that like was that intentional for you?
It was. I mean, I wanted a job. I think also because when I chose to do art as a career, both my parents were like, you know, that's risky.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to get a job and be successful and kind of make a living off of doing art. So especially when they kind of gave me that advice, I, of course, wanted to prove them wrong, which is kind of one of the reasons, like, I want to show that I can do this, not just at a level of sustaining and living at an adequate level, but like do it and push it to whatever medium is possible. So yeah, I wanted to get that first job out of college, work at an entry level graphic design firm, making less than minimum wage, cranking out designs for local businesses, which it was fun. I mean, I learned that real world skill of kind of designing and advertising and kind of how you can take just art and make it, I guess, more kind of corporate and business like.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was a great place to start out to kind of work. But while doing that is kind of when I started developing the freelance side of things, the things that there's not boxes or limitations I have to stay in to work with. So that's when I started doing murals, started doing freelance projects at the nights. And it really all started with the Packers fence right outside Lambeau Field.
So this is the one of the most iconic things that you see when you go to Lambeau.
Yes.
From the fans' perspective. And also, it's been on Monday Night Football, too, right?
It's been on Monday Night Football. It's been on NBC Thursday night. It's been on ESPN segments. It's made a lot of different cuts throughout the year.
I mean, that's going to be... Growing up a Packers fan, yeah. As you did.
Oh, for sure.
To now, like, look at something that you've made become, like, part of the iconicness of Lambeau Field and the culture of it. That's got to feel amazing.
Oh, it's amazing. Just driving down that area and just knowing that I've kind of helped create something that kind of attributes to Lambeau Field and the fans see every day when they're visiting the stadium, game days. It's a fun canvas to work on. I mean, it's 70 feet long, 6 feet tall. Just that whole block has just transformed so much over the years too, that it's really just come to like a fan hangout 365 all year long.
Now for those who don't know anything about Lambeau Field or Green Bay, help describe what your mural is that you created there.
Yeah, so it's every year I create a mural on that street. It's always the Saturday before the first home game. Typically, it's painted in one day. So starting around 6 in the morning, finishing up probably 8, 9 at night. And it changes theme every year. Usually, it's tied around the team, something that team messaging or where we think the team is going. Sometimes it's tied around the community, like around COVID-19. The whole year when really fans weren't allowed into the stadium, transformed the fence into a fan fence where fans would pay a portion to get their likeness put on the fence. And then those funds would be donated back to a local charity that was benefiting families in need with COVID-19.
Super cool.
So, I mean, like that year alone, we got 69 fans on the fence, different likenesses. So. Yes, I chose another.
You couldn't go 70.
No,
fans.
Couldn't go 70, just 69. Just couldn't fit another fan in there, not an inch around. I know, it was tough.
I can't help myself. You know? Grow up. You know, grow. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Ignore that? That's what everyone was listening was thinking.
Yeah, easily could go to 70. No, sorry, just got to end somewhere.
Well, it is what it is. But that's very cool. So have you done... You haven't done this year's yet.
No, I have not done this year's.
When does that happen?
So that will happen. I know the schedule just got released. So I think it's the 14th, 13th of September. So I think our home opener is 14th or 15th. I'll have to look that up exactly.
Yeah, because we're doing Brazil week one. We're
doing Brazil week one.
You going down to Brazil?
I'm thinking about it. No. Flights aren't bad. It's the ticket price that gets a little hefty.
Ticket price is a bit of a lift. I don't know what's going on down in Brazil politically this time of year, but yeah. You know,
it's not the safest area in the world, but you know, it's
an experience.
It's an experience. I have family from Brazil grew up in Sao Paulo.
Oh, so you know the lay of the land.
I know the lay of the land. I know what areas I should visit at night and what areas I shouldn't.
Yeah. I'm thinking of, since the flights are pretty cheap, I was thinking of doing a show down there.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I'm not concerned about my safety really. But what I would be concerned in doing a show down there is like, would other people be concerned about their safety? Because would other people be, because if I'm just doing a show for me and five of my closest friends, that's always tough for comedy.
That is always tough.
Anyway, well,
that'd be cool. Yeah, a show down there would be great.
Hey, you'll be there.
I will be there.
How much family do you have?
I mean, it's my aunt. Her family's down there. So they've got a good 5, 6, 7 people I can get to the show.
You know what? If I can get like 25 people there, I might just do it.
I can get you to double digits. I mean, I can't promise 25, but I can get you to that 10 mark.
I just give me a bad open mic night. Yeah. And so I can write off the entire Brazil trip on my taxes.
Oh, beautiful.
And we're good. I just need enough people so I can write off the.
Sure.
And I also have to go to the game so I know what I'm telling jokes about.
You do.
I got to write off that as well.
It's very important to write that off.
I really shouldn't telegraph all of this to the IRS, should I?
You know, this is just theoretical.
It is.
Yeah.
Hypothetically,
this could happen, but no.
Also, in order to get into the team spirit, you need to have a couple beers beforehand.
Right.
You do.
Like, for business purposes.
Yeah.
Right. So those need to be written
off. That's another
write-off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you definitely have to bring your bourbon down there, too. Or not your brandy. I'm sorry. Not
that's,
bourbon.
That's, a, I mean.
Oof. I know I'm gonna get thrown off this pretty quick.
Yeah. But you know what? I love your watercolors.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, it's all finger paint.
You know, watercolors. Though there are some artists that really dive down into watercolors.
Yeah, there actually are
very famous there ones. Are. Famously, yes. I remember when we were growing up, kids in Catholic school. Uh-huh. You know, I remember we had gym assembly where we all had to sit cross-legged and we watched this woman come in and she would do PowerPoint presentations before PowerPoint was a thing. It was slides on the overhead projector.
Sure. Yep.
And she'd bring up these old art paintings and she would talk about them. Do you remember this woman?
I do remember this. Yes.
Yeah. And it was cool. That's where I saw my first set of boobs.
I bet.
Because they were painted ones.
Yeah, the watercolor boobs. Yes.
Yeah, the water boobs. Yes, Colleen.
Let's move on.
Are you disapproving?
No, I mostly was laughing at you guys were starting to beef with each other, and then you both immediately go, but there's really good art. Like, the most Midwest way of getting out of beef.
Yeah.
Like, but there are really good, like, watercolor people. Like, you guys.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah,
super Midwest.
The one about the boobs.
Well, Colleen, did you have this when you were in grade school up in Minnesota? Like, a woman comes in, or how old are you?
32.
You're 32? Okay, yeah. I'm 37. So, like, we're
close enough.
We're like 10 years older than Colleen.
You are, yeah.
Could be your grandma.
He's 5. So don't date him.
He's just grouping me in.
Did you go to Catholic school too?
I did go to Catholic school.
I think it's a Catholic thing.
Is it Catholic?
I didn't.
That's
we didn't
weird.
Have that in
that's,
school.
That's weird that that's how all these Catholic kids are seeing boobs, you know, like in the drawings and stuff
that
in the art.
Weird.
And everybody in the audience, everybody just starts whispering. And then she's saying, you know, she's talking about it might also just be a Wisconsin thing, because I
it
think
it could be.
I think this
was
one,
it a Wisconsin artist.
No, but she was like an art gal.
Yeah.
Oh.
I got to find her. I got to bring her on the
but
podcast.
I do remember that. Yes.
I'm like, what's it like showing like a bunch of 8-year-olds their first pair of boobs?
Yes.
And she'd be like, you clearly weren't listening to what I was saying back then. This is the Renaissance period of. All right. Anyway.
So she would just come in and ask or show you guys paintings.
Yeah. And it wasn't
kind of
just
art.
It wasn't just.
Yeah. It was eras. You would do Renaissance.
Smut.
This is
smut through the ages.
The 1950s bathroom stall era.
Yes. And then the next day with health class. I mean, it's the introductory to that.
Yeah. Exactly. It was really dovetailing.
They really got it all in there.
Here's another, actually, now that we're bringing it up, why do like in these classy, like sort of like Italian restaurant type things or like, whatever, you know, a place you go to where it's sort of like upscale chic kind of you above the stall in the men's bathroom. There's just naked, like burlesque,
you know,
pictures. Do you know why that's the thing?
I don't know why that's a thing, but maybe it just encourages men to go to the bathroom.
Is that it? What?
I don't know.
Are men but not going to the bathroom?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. Colleen. Okay. So
is it in the women's bathroom?
Is it in the women's bathroom?
Yeah.
Do you
what restaurant are you referring to?
An upscale Italian one. It's
Yeah. Like, all guys know what I'm talking about right now.
The thing is, you guys face the wall.
That's true.
We don't.
Well, you face a wall.
I face the stall of the bathroom.
And are they decorating the stall?
No.
Okay.
So I think it's probably something to keep your guys' attention while you're peeing.
So we're our attention doesn't drift elsewhere.
It's upholding Christian values.
So they don't have money for the divider. They just put the picture up there just to keep your eyes locked the entire time.
Now we know.
There's one bathroom. I think it's... Elwood's, maybe. There's one bathroom in Milwaukee at a bar that like has a bunch of naked guys.
Oh.
And I'm literally like
down. I am a Christian. I am a Christian.
That's crazy. Shoot, that was good physical comedy. That was good physical.
We gotta get a GoPro on you.
No, we don't. But but that's the only thing I can think of. I've never seen the naked people like you guys have.
It's like what percentage of guys' bathrooms would you say that sort of stuff is in?
Too many.
Yeah, I would probably say like maybe 15%.
Yeah,
15%.
I was thinking it was more.
No, most bathrooms don't have it, but I'm saying if a bathroom has photos in it or not photos, art, it's usually like... I was just in one yesterday where a gal from the 20s was holding one deal like this and the other was fully out there, you know?
Huh.
Yeah. And all I could think about was my grade school art class. So I started laughing.
Anyways. That's the sketch that we've been talking about. Girls bathrooms versus guy bathrooms.
Yeah.
Girls bathrooms are the stalls where it's like girls will take Sharpies and write on the stalls words of empowerment and you guys are looking at boobs.
Or it's all like it's F you or like I see it, it's not that big kind of a thing.
Oh
like,
yes, there's always that and every swear word you can think of. And
yes, yeah, I mean inventive swear words,
which I give some people credit for.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, snarky comments, circling something, pointing an arrow up and saying your mom.
Yep.
You know,
there's the are mom. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. It's like
you're pregnant. Like you are mom. This is your birth announcement.
Yeah. Anyway, we got way off track on that. So
all because I offended your brain.
Yeah, that's where it came from. You can't do that to a fellow with ADD. I'll go way off the rails.
I hear you.
Anyway, let's get back to your job and you're working 9 to 5, working for the man, working corporate America.
Yes.
And then what's your first sort of like, were you always working on the side, your side hustle that whole time?
Or did you fully? And actually, even till now, I'm still working full time and doing this on the side.
Perfect.
Yeah. I just don't sleep anymore, which is okay.
Well, this is a big reason I wanted to have you on is because I feel like there's a lot of people out there who I've encountered personally that they tell me at meet and greets or whatever, just at the bar, that they want to do this. They've always thought about doing that. And these are all like either comedy or it is art or it's photography or it's videography or whatever, but they never, could do it. So I think showing a pathway of like how you're doing it is cool for them to see. So
yeah.
You basically 9 to 5, you're doing your normal gig. Well, what are you calling sick today? What the hell happened?
I'm in a meeting.
Nice. Nice. So good. All right. Well, so you're in a meeting now. So you're still doing that. And then just at night, that's when you go to town on these other
things. That's when I go to town on weekends. Yeah, it's just I think in this industry, like a lot of others, it's about connections, who you can talk to get certain gigs. Like the Packers fence opened up a lot of doors to other things, just getting your art into public space.
Yeah.
But it still took a lot of cold calling, talking to someone who knows someone who knows someone that might be looking for a mural somewhere. So I think the first thing I really started building was just my mural business, my mural side of things. And just started doing little projects, you know, all over the state a little bit, kind of slowly branched out to other states now too. But yeah, just kind of just keep driving as hard as I can to find that next project. I mean, now I'm working with different city municipalities on like beautification budgets they're getting from the grant, from the government. So grants that they're receiving to kind of help beautify their cities. Like Fond du Lac is one I'm working with right now.
Fondy.
Yeah, good old Fondy.
No kidding.
I know. So I've
you know, I got some Fond du Lac roots in the family.
You do have some Fond du Lac roots.
I was just there yesterday.
Oh, really?
Grandma Sue lives there.
Oh, good old Grandma Sue.
Yeah, they've lived there their whole life. My Grandma Sue, Grandpa Bob gone, obviously.
Oh, that's cool.
And so where are you going to, what are you thinking of doing over there?
So
can you say it?
Yeah, so I've done three murals are already.
Which one?
So in Franklin Park, I've got a large colorful mural that wraps around a bar. It kind of deviates, I guess, the park where all the kids play to the bar on the corner.
Yeah.
So now there's it kind of breaks them apart so that they know they shouldn't cross it until they turn 21.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's this big colorful wall. It's probably 150 feet long, kind of wraps around an L-shaped corner. And then the basketball court too. I did all the basketball poles, the hoops, the backboards. And then I just went over to Hamilton Park and they installed a new, it's like a musical playground where there's a bunch of like outdoor musical instruments that kids can go play on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did the whole concrete slab underneath that.
Oh, nice.
And then now I'm doing two murals on the side of the restroom that's going in there.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, is this...
No naked ladies are going to be painted on the mural
in
the restroom.
I didn't have the budget for that.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. President Biden could have an edge over Donald Trump from new and young voters in November. Our Fred Backus is manager of service.
Most younger voters see they've been left an environment in bad condition, a world that is more dangerous than it used to be, and with fewer opportunities for young people.
Manager of surveys and climate change, abortion, immigration, they're all top concerns and possible topics for their debate Thursday. Trump talked about it in Philly.
Should I be tough and nasty and just say you're the worst president in history, or... should I be nice and calm and let him speak?
He claims he won a majority of support from Philly in 2020, which is not true. Extreme heat's not stopping pride celebrations today in Cincinnati.
It's probably about my fourth bottle of water.
Free water, like crazy. But we got a fan, so we're good. And we're vibing. Lots of boots. We love it.
Thousands are out at Sawyer Point Park. Highs today in the 90s there. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A Brewers comeback cut short. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It looked like the Brewers had made a tremendous comeback. Down 6-0, ninth inning, bases loaded, two outs. Bryce Terang at the plate on Fox Sports.
Burritos 1-2. In the air to left, Azokar started in as to race back all the way to the corner, and it is gone! And Bryce Terang with his second career grand slam has completely shifted the complexion of this game in the ninth.
But the Brewers ended up losing 6-4 despite the grand slam. Milwaukee 0-3 in the series, heading into today's game. A recap coming up later tonight. Elsewhere, the last place Rockies beating the Nationals 8-7 thanks to a pitch clock violation. It was a tie game. Bottom of the ninth, the Rockies loaded the bases when the home plate umpire declared the Nationals pitcher Kyle Finnegan was 1 second too late throwing a pitch. It forced the game-winning run with an automatic walk. It's the first time a game has been won because of a pitch clock violation. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price for your Sunday. A mix of clouds and sunshine, although there should be a bit more sunshine in the second half of the day. Highs in the upper 70s, light northwest winds. Overnight, lower 60s and mostly clear skies. Sunshine for Monday, highs in the upper 70s. It's 66 at our studios.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
One of the state's biggest and best...
Earl Ingram.
Monday morning, join me as I stroll through memory lane and take in the sounds of the Motor City. It's Motown Mondays.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Folks, if you're just tuning in, I'm Charlie Behrens on the Cripescast, and this is my conversation with artist and muralist Zane Statz.
Is this the kind of thing that people are now calling you for, or that you are still cold calling to get?
It's a 50-50 thing.
Yeah.
This, they found me actually. Mm-hmm. I probably through social media, I'm guessing. But a lot of the time still I'm looking at, you know, who is receiving these funds too, especially. Mm. There are a lot of these kind of beautification grants going out, not just in the state, but kind of around the country. So looking at who's receiving the funds and then finding who the right person to contact is, and seeing if there's a way that I can kind of lend my skill to kind of help their end goal. So like, for instance, the city of Greensburg, Indiana, where I was about a week ago, I just did a large mural down there. It's 27 sheets of plywood that I faceted onto a building because mm-hmm. they wanted to be removable in case they ever wanted to put somewhere else.
Yeah.
But that was funded by the city. They're getting a lot of government grant money right now just to kind of help beautify their city. They're the middle point between Indianapolis and Cincinnati, exactly an hour to both. So it's kind of like a destination that people stop going from one city to the other.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find those kind of projects too that obviously they have the funds to help kind of create a large scale mural because there's a lot of time and money involved. But yeah, it's definitely still cold calling and finding who the right people or groups are to work with for certain projects.
Yeah, I mean, I think the cool thing about being an artist is if you take that same artistic mindset, that same creative mindset mm-hmm. and sort of scrappy, but I don't mean scrappy in a bad way. I mean scrappy in the sense that you also take old footballs and make them into shoes.
Yes.
You use that same thing in the business side where you're looking for where these grants are going and then you're calling up. And I think that's a difficult thing for a lot of people to take their artistic mind and apply it to their business mind and allow the two to flourish. So it's cool you're doing that.
I think it's especially as an artist, you still need that business side, which I think is helpful why I did that in college too. I kind of went for the business and the art. So I kind of understood both sides.
Listened to your dad.
I did listen to my dad somewhat, but then still went off the rails a little bit.
My dad said, if you're going to go to school, you get a business degree. Do not just get a journalism degree. Do not just get a journal. And I got a journalism degree and a geography degree.
Okay.
Environmental geography.
Okay. Which have you used?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, good.
But I would have used a business degree a lot more. I'm just going to say that. But so my dad was right in retrospect. But I hope he doesn't listen to this podcast. I didn't know I said that. Don't worry, I don't think he does. anyway, what about making the shoes for the how many Packers have you made shoes for?
So I've made cleats now for 8 different Packers, 9 different Packers now.
Can you name them all? Or have you done it for so many that you can't
I can probably even... name most of them now. So Kenny Clark is where it all started.
Mm-hmm. How did that go? Very unique thing, out of the box deal, saying, hey, I'm going to make you these cleats. Where'd that idea come from? And then I want to hear all the Packers.
Sure. So it started because I started talking on social with Kenny Clark.
You slid into Kenny
just
Clark's
slid
DMs.
Into his DMs, you know, a little cold DM.
Nice, dude.
He wanted a painting done in his house of kind of a portrait of him, of his kind of college and where he is now professionally. So kind of incorporating UCLA with Packers.
Dope.
So it was a large 4-foot by 8-foot painting that he wanted in his living room.
So how did you know that he wanted that?
Well, I was kind of saying, like, this is what I specialize in. This is what I can do.
Got it.
And he's like, you know, I'm looking for like some kind of like a painting of some kind. And then I kind of like brainstormed some ideas and then kind of found like this is what would work in the setting that he's looking to have it in, which is this beautiful living room he has at his house in Green Bay. So I kind of created that painting. Obviously, from there, he was able to see kind of what I was able to do. And mm-hmm. he kind of just asked, you know, I'm looking to get some custom cleats. Is that kind of in your wheelhouse? And I said, you know, let's give it a try. I think I can do this.
Yeah.
So, you know, I started with one pair, two pair. And then it just kind of went from referral wildfire from there. I got then to like Sean Clifford, backup QB, who then referred Jaden Reed, who then from there referred, who'd be next? Probably Savage and then Jair Alexander. TJ Slayton, Romeo Dobbs.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, it's just kind of keep going from word of mouth.
Yeah.
With each pair of cleats that I make, I put the player's name on it, but I also put my name logo on it. Mm-hmm. And this nice shoe bag.
Right there.
Yes. Yeah, so good old Zane, keep it simple. Four letters.
It's pretty cool.
So with that shoe bag too, now I'm kind of getting my name in the locker room. So it's just, it's consistent branding too, that can kind of help, just grow and do more cleats, because there are a few shoe artists around this area that are doing some custom cleats, custom kicks, but mm-hmm. We're all trying to do as much as we can, and it's a unique form of art, because it's not just painting a canvas. I mean, yes, you're taking a shoe, but in order to paint it, you got to remove all the factory finishes and all the other stuff off the shoe to even make the paint stick.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of that, the chemicals and different finishes that are on that leather that they put it on there to make like dirt and any kind of stains come off easily. Mm-hmm. So obviously you have to remove all those layers before you can paint.
Sandpaper?
Sandpaper and acetone.
Oh, I was kidding about the sandpaper.
No, it's actually a lot of sandpaper and a lot of acetone.
Oh, wow. Acetone, is that bad for you?
I mean, I'm still living.
Do you wear a mask?
No.
Oh boy. I don't know. You better wear that mask.
I
know.
I might need to, but it's usually ventilated.
I do a lot of, not a lot. As a kid, I did more, but I started to get back into doing like some woodworking stuff.
Okay.
I'm a big mask guy. It's the most annoying thing to wear. But I'm just paranoid. I'm like, whatever I'm doing, I'm inhaling something.
You know, here. It's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Charlie's also just like the most averse to like nail polish smell and acetone. Like
Is that what's in nail polish?
Yeah. Yes, I thought you were going to say that you got back into painting your nails or something.
That went over my head. I walked in the room. Okay. So when I was a kid, we would go on like 1 and 12 and we would go on these vacations and all the frigging kids are in the car. One of my sisters starts painting her nails. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Hot ass day. The smell is just like fist fights over that whole thing. Yes, with my sisters. No, I'm kidding.
We're in Duluth, and I had done it earlier. The green room is like probably the size of this room.
Sure.
And I had just done it like maybe 10 minutes ago. He walks in immediately, is like, what? Like tweaking out. What is the smell of this? What's going on? Is there a gas leak? Da-da-da-da-da. You would have thought like I had gone to your head.
It gives me such a headache. You know what? Here's why it gives me a headache. Because my sisters would do it on car rides.
Uh-huh. Probably put it in front of the air conditioning to cool off.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah,
that'd be definitely. That assumes our air conditioning was working.
Yeah.
But I don't. Anyway, it would give me a headache.
Yeah, for sure.
Does it give you a headache, or does it just give me a headache? Did it give you?
It
a headache?
Doesn't give me a headache, but I usually do have like fans and open window. Like I'm not just like in a little dark hut pouring acetone on leather.
Yeah. Because it might be fine for you. I don't know. I'm not.
It dissipates just, pretty fast.
Too. I just know it from being a kid of like, you know, whatever. Maybe I'm overreacting.
Yeah.
Am I? I wasn't mean to you, Colleen.
Moving on.
What does that mean? What did I say? If I was mean, I'll make amends right
no,
now.
No, we're fine. We're fine.
Nah, can you tell the way she said that? Yeah, that was the most Midwest, we're fine.
I can't remember what you said, but Dante even was like, whoo.
Really?
Yeah, you were like, what is that smell? It smells awful. And I was like, my nails. And you're like, seriously? Like, you got so...
I was heightening it for comedic effect.
Okay. Yes.
In my mind. But I do that a lot. Like, and then I listen back. Like, sometimes I do that on this podcast where I heighten my, like, comedic anger, I think.
Sure.
And then I'm listening back. I'm like, why didn't you guys tell me I sound like such a jackass?
It's funny, but it's also sometimes it's rooted in truth.
It's always rooted in truth. Yeah. I'm telling you where the truth is rooted, that my sister's dad drove me nuts.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, if my sisters were there, they'd be laughing at that.
We were laughing, and then I think that's what made you mad.
That's probably why. Because my sisters would be laughing too. Anyway,
back to the shoes.
Sorry. Yeah, back to the shoes. So, all right. Yeah, you're doing that.
So, yeah, I mean, it's been a bunch of different cleats now, and I kind of keep getting more and more connections. I'm now working with a sports marketing agent, Mark Mayfield, who's really helping open a lot more doors to a lot more players. So with that, I'm looking forward. I mean, I already did Romeo Dobbs, my cause, my cleats for next season.
Nice.
I just did those about a week and a half ago. So that's week 13, week 14 of every NFL year is my cause, my cleats, where players can wear custom cleats to support any foundation, and there's no color restrictions on their cleats. Mm-hmm. Whereas every other season during the year, it has to be part of their team's colors. So Packers can be white, black, green, yellow, and in some instances in gray. But other than that, if they do end up wearing colors outside that, it's thousands and thousands of dollars in fines. Which I don't really want to help pay if I have to. And if the player wants something done and they're willing to take the fine for it, I'm all for it.
I was like, that's when you've won right there.
Oh, yeah. Which Odell Beckham has done that a few times.
Has he?
Yes.
How much has he paid to wear cleats that are off color?
I think it's at least $10,000 a game.
Good God. It's a lot of money, man.
Yeah.
Well, this is super, super cool. So you start off with just one, it sort of snowballs into more. And are you still sliding into, are you on a consistent slide into DMs?
You know, I'm a good slider. Yeah. People are sliding to me too now, which is, wow, that sounds weird.
What's a good slide tactic, you know, for other artists out there, for your competition out there looking to beat you to the punch?
I mean, I always slide with a compliment first. I mean, compliment the person and then kind of just subtly, you know, this is what I can do. If I can ever do something to help, let me know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of Packer players, but I mean, I just created a custom jacket for a Playboy Playmate.
Oh, really?
So that was...
How'd you slide into those DMs? Compliment
first? Other way around, actually.
Really?
I know. Packer fan.
Packer fan.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
You married?
I am.
Did your wife know?
Yeah, she does.
Okay. Healthy marriage. Good
what
for you.
What you think about who she, like who her fans are, it's my perfect demographic of who I'm creating art for. Because, I mean, her fans are, I mean, it's middle-aged men for the most part, sports fans. I mean, so it's the same target demographic I am for other art projects, especially with custom cleats, custom apparel.
Yeah.
I just created some shoes for Young Gravy.
Did you?
I did. Some Minnesota Timberwolf kicks that
who slid
his manager slid into mine.
Wow. Yes. Look at that. Young Gravy's manager.
Yes.
Sliding in your DMs.
So yeah.
Are you gonna meet Young Gravy?
There's no plan yet. He's out in LA. Yeah. So maybe on a tour or something. We'll see.
Okay. Cool, but, man.
Yeah.
So who else is sliding? Give us some more names.
Some more names that are sliding.
Yeah, I mean, you already are doing great, by the way. Playboy Playmate, Young Gravy's manager. That's pretty good.
Yeah. A lot of players. I mean, there's a few other things in the works right now that we're trying to finalize, but you know, for the main ones right now, that I say those are probably the pinnacles, the apexes.
Okay. Now, are these custom jobs kind of the thing where you know, like, can you give us a sense of like how much a custom pair of shoes is, or is that a rude question to ask, or does it depend on like the shoe?
It depends on a lot of things. It depends first on the shoe. I try to only work on real leather. Synthetic leathers get to be a pain in the ass because all the different chemicals they put on the synthetic leather, just paint never wants to stick well to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I always try to stay with like a real leather or like a canvas, like a Converse.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those paint sticks well. But so yeah, it definitely starts with the shoe. And then the design. I mean, if it's something simplistic, we're talking a couple hundred dollars. If it's something more detailed, it's going to go up from there. But I would say they range anywhere from probably $300, not including the cost of the shoe, up to $7,000, $8,000 to $1,000, depending on the detail and complexity of it.
Very cool.
But yeah, because each pair is different. Yeah. And I like to make each one different too, just because I don't want the same pair of shoes being worn by multiple different people. Just like I make a bunch of custom apparel. I want each one to be a one of one, just something unique that one person can wear. Maybe there's something similar somewhere else that someone's done, or not done, but someone's wearing that I've created, but just nothing the exact same.
Mm-hmm. That's I think cool from an artistic perspective that you have that and want that to be your thing. And then just cool from someone who has it knows that, like, yeah, this can get out there past this, you know? And then over time, I would imagine, like, you know, your art starts to become collectible, and that's kind of like the next iteration of all of it.
For sure. Yeah. And I mean, even with like a lot of the shoes I'm creating right now, people aren't even wearing them. They're just putting them like on their mantle, like especially different like Packer ones, which I always encourage. Like if I'm making custom shoes, like you got to wear them, you got to flaunt them, you got to like rock them out on the streets. But it's a lot of people, when they get like a custom shoe painted, they see it more as like a sculpture you put up instead of like wearing it like you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Which I mean, I love seeing my work displayed, but like being worn in the actual element.
I'm so
don't
glad
ever
you said
say
this.
That. Literally, we will not let Charlie wear them.
What?
Is that what you're
going
to say?
That's where I was going with it, because they were like, yeah. Well, the night I left the Resch Center after you gave it to me, it was pouring.
Okay.
So I didn't.
They're waterproof. Not just water sealed, but the holes are all plugged up. So you could go jumping in puddles and your socks would be dry to the bone.
See how my shoes are black right now?
I do.
The reason that my shoes are black is because I would never wear white shoes.
Okay.
Like wearing this white flannel, half white flannel.
Sure.
It's a big move for me.
Okay.
Because I spill things.
You are that guy.
I am that guy. Toddler. So, and these look so cool. So I do plan, despite what they said, to wear these on game days.
Good. Good.
You know, but wearing them around, like I'm in my garage a lot, you know. I'm sweeping stuff up.
Sure.
You know, so I'm dropping things, you know.
Yeah.
And so I just don't want to ruin them. But
there's also like that like story that you guys told on your family podcast of like how your feet were smelling and your aunt threw out your shoes.
Yeah.
We're trying to preserve.
I fixed my feet on that. So I started. I don't want to say what I started doing.
Yeah, let's not.
People be like, you weren't doing that before.
Were you not washing your feet?
Don't talk to me, Callie.
You weren't washing your feet?
I was. Well, do you wash your feet in the shower?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Where else do you wash them?
Well, you get showered now. The soap makes its way down there.
I did used to think that.
That's, you know, that's definitely.
You're canceled. Definitely, that's disgusting.
It's definitely a white guy thing, not washing the legs.
For sure.
Yeah. But I know now. I know now. Yeah, and I've known for quite some time. Okay, but I did not know when I was 7 years old. So don't give me that look, Kelly.
Okay.
Don't give me that. That K is as bad as your fine. Colleen is the king of
No, the one last thing that made you mad was cool. Like when you're coming up with an idea, I go, cool.
that's like the where you shoot a basketball and you like just walk away. Yeah. You know, you're like that. I'm just going to.
Yeah.
Or no, that wouldn't be the basket. It would be the basketball equivalent would be like stuffing it at the hoop.
Yeah. I have a quick question.
Yes.
If you is there one like being a Packers fan, is there one sports franchise or like are there any like things that you will not do custom work for? Like, would you never do a Bears shoe? Would you never do a Cubs shoe?
You know,
Colleen,
I will do any team. Okay. Yes, it would hurt a little bit to do a Bears custom. I haven't done one yet, but I mean, I've done some Broncos stuff.
Yeah.
I've done some Rams stuff. I have done some Lions stuff.
I saw the Wolves.
Would do Bears stuff?
I would do Bears.
Get the
But there might be a hidden G somewhere.
Yeah, that's
that's what's up.
Yes.
You can do your Zane logo, but like with green and gold.
With green and gold. Like there's going to be something in there.
You just lost all your potential Bears, right?
I did. So,
from the people who listen to my podcast. So if my dad ever becomes a Bears fan, you can do his shoes.
But it's like the IRS before. It's theoretical. Who said I'd actually do that?
Right. Hypothetically.
Yes.
But I love how you said that you want your stuff to be used, which leads to my next question.
Yes, of course.
Can we here at the Cripescast commission you to custom paint a ratchet strap?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Of course.
Cool. Now,
Why a ratchet strap?
Well, I know what you're thinking. Because I want to use it.
Okay.
And I want every time I ratchet some down, I want that's not going anywhere.
Okay.
Yes. Something like that.
Sure.
And now here's the big thing, though. Ratchet straps, the strap itself, probably the strap wouldn't be painted. Right? Because that would be so much to paint.
Yes, but I could use something to adhere to it.
Okay.
Like I use it's a DTF, a direct transfer vinyl.
Use a DTF.
I know. So many things.
I've never heard you be so like middle school boy.
He started talking about art and put me right in the thing.
No, the first thing was 69.
Okay, he literally said 69 and DTF.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, was it not the first thing you thought of, Colleen?
No.
I see right through that smile.
You could do the small portion of the ratchet, like the part that doesn't go through the thing.
That's true. Yeah, that could be exposed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's different things that you basically adhere with pressure and heat.
Okay.
That they morph into the fabric, and they're not coming anywhere. They're not going to rip. They're not going to peel off.
Yeah.
Yes, the parts is getting really cranked. I mean, even the actual strap's going to break down and wear over time. So probably whatever we put there would, but there's many different ways we can jazz that up.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's the coolest thing we could paint? Otherwise I'm thinking about that duck right there.
Yeah.
Could you turn that mallard into a red-breasted merganser?
I mean, I could do that if you'd like.
We'd have to fix the top of the head though. Cause biologically a mallard's a little different.
Yeah. Cause everybody RBM. Knows that.
Add a little putty up there and,
yeah.
Colleen, geez. My God.
I think the Emmy.
The Emmy? Yeah, that would be fun.
I don't want to touch your Emmy.
We have the grill in the garage.
Oh, a grill? Can you do something?
I can do a grill, yes.
If I actually use a grill, would it go away?
I would use heat-sensitive paint.
Heat-sensitive? All right.
Yes.
Good idea. Yes. Yeah. Okay, cool. Now we got a big circle there. We got a Packers.
Okay.
Because that's when it's going to be used the most. We got Packers.
You could just do tailgating in general. Packers, Badgers, Brewers.
Oh, yeah. Just Wisconsin sports.
Oh, Wisconsin sports one.
Oh, yeah.
That would be cool.
I'm down for that.
Yeah.
All right.
Stuff about grilling and poking brats. You know what I mean? Like.
Well, we'll let the artist go.
Yeah.
We'll let the artist go. What kind of car do you have? Can we roll it on into your car when you leave here today?
We could if you want.
There's charcoal inside. I gotta put that in the garbage.
Okay.
We'll
put that in something. Yeah.
All right. That's sweet.
I got a trunk. I can put it in there.
Yeah. All right.
For
cool.
Sure.
I can take it apart if you want.
Okay. That'll be fun.
All right.
That'll be great. Yeah. I'll just put some heat sensitive paint and. As long as it's not like a couple thousand degrees, which I hope you don't barbecue at that.
No, just mostly brats on that one.
Oh, then you should be good to go.
Yeah.
Good to go.
Okay.
Well, so wait, really quick question.
Yes.
You're wearing Jordans. Are you now, because of the business that you have, are you now a sneakerhead?
Yes.
Or were you beforehand?
I wasn't as much, but the more I started painting shoes, the more I started like realizing the fun different shoes that are out there. And I have turned into a sneakeraholic.
Yeah,
I mean, to the extreme.
Do they care that you're painting their shoes?
It's a very fine line.
Really?
I've had friends that have done work around like Nike products that have kind of gotten shut down for doing it.
Okay.
But because I'm not really using their branding and logos, I'm just using a product and then I'm almost kind of like
painting over it.
Yeah, it's a fine line, but as of now, it hasn't run into any kind of issue.
Yeah.
Of course, I'd love for Nike to reach out and just give me the green light and bless everything, but that's Nike, of course.
All right, well, that's all the time we have for now, folks. But if you want to listen to my full conversation with Zane, just check out the Cripescast anywhere you get your podcasts.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's it's got you down. Just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin. The Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No, you gotta keep her moving.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.